It's not a cartoon. It's anime.
That was weak as hell, Cam.
I'm a soft-spoken person.
Bro.
Also, it all got conjungled, like, in here when you guys are doing it. So I'm like, do I sound good? Do I not? I can't hear it.
You're the only one I can hear. No, you're right. I had sounded all right. You just didn't put the... But you haven't seen Dragon Ball, right? So...
Bits and pieces.
Okay. So you need more context.
I am, like, less of an anime fan to the tier that Rob was before this started.
Mm.
Like, the only reason I started watching anime is because of this podcast.
Okay. I mean...
I'll take it.
We got you on, though. All right. Well, anyway, welcome to another episode of Animation. Some of the squad is back. Myself, Rob.
Yes,
no
we are here.
No ice. But our tech guy, our sound man, Killer Cam, is here for the first time.
The man in the chair. The fifth Beetle. Right? He's here.
The fifth Beetle.
This is actually the first time being on a podcast, period.
Wow.
Really?
That's surprising, because,
you record a bunch of them.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be in, like, the background, and they'll be like, Cam, what's the answer to this? Or, like, Cam, what's the time? And then I'll, like, mention it there, but this is it. Being legit on a podcast, this is it.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I want to apologize for Cam being here with that weak-ass power-up. That shit was trash. He gave no power.
Oh, and the person who couldn't be here and is not on camera is in this room right now.
Oh, Brennan, I see.
Walking out.
Wow.
Brennan is here? No, Brennan, put your bitch-ass face on camera. There
hey
you go.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Brennan.
First of all, I'd like to point out how extra Cameron was when he was just like, I'm going to be on the podcast. Let me be... Hella extra. This is all him. He was just like, yo, I'm going to get myself the quality camera, the backdrop. Look at this. Look at this setup. Look how clear he is compared to y'all.
Yeah, all he's missing is a glass of scotch or something, just like sitting back in a smoking jacket.
Got a little.
Yeah, so there's missing a glass of scotch and a smoking jacket.
I mean, you can.
You want a glass of scotch?
Not right now. No.
Okay. Yeah. No, but yeah, man, I didn't have time to watch the episode, so Cam stepped in. So he's the best. He's been the greatest human being ever. Y'all have fun. I'm going to go now. Bye.
We will. Bye.
Get out of here, Brennan. We want your punk ass here.
Can't even get his...
After we've been rudely interrupted.
Wow. Yeah. Brennan is actually super busy this week, so he couldn't get out on the podcast, and that's his small little finger. Right there, that's what that is. And Ice couldn't be here again this week, but it's all good. You know what we're doing? We're reviewing Death Note, episodes 13 through 18, and you are tuned in to the greatest fucking anime podcast of all time.
Of all time. All time.
Ice was like, could you please say it, somebody, please? I said the last podcast, bro. I just said it.
He obviously is not listening.
It was he clearly didn't listen all the way to the end. He was just like, all right, fuck that, I'm out.
Somebody just please hold me down. I just need something, please.
We got it in there, man. We got it in there.
Yeah. So, Death Note, Rob's pick, episodes 13 through 18.
Yeah.
It's a battle.
It is.
Let's see what's going on. Go ahead, lead us off, Rob.
Yeah, so Light and the investigators, they get another message from the second Kira, a package, or actually a page of a journal describing just like a bunch of events that haven't happened yet, including the two Kiras meeting at a baseball game. And they figure out like some must be real, some must be fake. So they decide to just let's split up the team and just we're going to have people and cameras at every event. Just make sure we cover all our bases here. And Light gets paired up with younger detective, and they take a trip to the mall. It's not to get it twisted or anything. Like, L tells his detective, like, keep your eyes on Light very closely. Like, do not let him out of your sight when you guys are there. And before the trip to the mall, both Light and Misa are asking their Shinigami kind of more about how they can identify one another. Light is concerned that the second Kira Shinigami might see Ryuk and then maybe point him out. But Ryuk's like, hey, that just kind of depends on how helpful that Shinigami is. Misa, meanwhile, asks Rem, her Shinigami, why she can't see her own remaining lifespan. And Rem lets her know that, you know, owners of the Death Note can't see each other's lifespans. So Light and the detective go to the mall, Light inviting a ton of his friends to join them as cover, you know, so they can't see who the Shinigami is attached to. But, you know, that's his whole thing. He says it's cover, but it's really just to throw off the second Kira, hoping that they won't be able to figure it out. But it's all for nothing because Misa, sitting in a nearby cafe in disguise, IDs him right away since she can't see his lifespan. Yeah, she's like, this is the guy. At home, Misa studies some more about Light now that she knows his name and finds out about, like, all his accomplishments, and her admiration just turns to infatuation.
Stalker!
Yeah, total stalker. Meanwhile, the detective team circles the wagons after finding out really nothing at any of the events. But suddenly they get a tape from the second Kira again saying that I found Kira, and everybody is shocked by this, both L and Light. And they put out a tape like to the second Kira saying like, hey, if you help us ID the original Kira, like you can get immunity. Like, don't approach this guy. He's dangerous. He will kill you. But like, we can help you out. She's not listening to that. She decides to do her own thing that night. Misa goes over to Light's house totally unannounced and tells him everything, like totally spills the beans and promises to help him. After all, Kira had killed her parents' murderers. Like her parents' house had been robbed and the murderer got away. And it was Kira who ended up punishing him. So she just pledges her life to him, even gives her death note to him, doesn't surrender ownership, but it's just like, you can just hold on to this. Like, I'm not going to kill you. And it reveals Rem to him. But her only condition is that Light has to be her boyfriend. Light hugs her and promises that, you know, hey, you're going to help me out. But clearly he has different plans in mind. And in the direct pickup, he's just thinking to himself that I just need to get this girl to see L because she has the eyes and then I can kill her off. She's so
infatuated by him. She's like, just use me, manipulate me. I don't even care.
She doesn't. She's eating it up. She's begging for it, literally.
Yeah.
Misa is thrilled and just Light continues to feed her bullshit. But he does let her meet Ryuk. But things kind of take a turn when he explains that, listen, I can't be your boyfriend. We can't be seen together. Like, that's going to be super suspicious. And threatens you. And at that point, she's just like, hey, if I see you with other girls, I'm going to kill them. He threatens her back, but that's when Rem steps in and just lays down the law. If anything happens to Misa, Light is going out next, even if it means her own death for saving a human being. So he agrees to cooperate to save his own life. And then he and Misa devise a plan to kind of confuse the police, send another tape, and then try to get her to see L so she can learn the real name. After she leaves, Light is pretty angry and thinks that she is probably a bigger problem for him than L is, like, especially because on top of all this, she's famous. So she's going to be super easily noticed, like picked out of a crowd. So
yeah.
L, meanwhile, is growing more suspicious of Light, investigates the tapes of the day he and the other detective went to the mall. He's also asking another officer to start trailing Light again, you know, follow him into class and stuff. Just to see what he's up to outside of the home in the hotel. So soon they get Misa's final message, and she says in there, like, hey, I'm stopping my search for Kira, and, you know, I'm going to give my power to other people. But L isn't buying it at all and figures that the Kiras must have met. Light and L clash a bit as they kind of dance around each other, whether or not Light is Kira and what actions he would have taken even if he was. And in the end, L says he hopes Light isn't Kira because he might be his only friend, which kind of takes Light back a bit. But on his way home, Light is surprised by Misa, much to his displeasure. He's just like, you know, this is the closest I've ever been to actually hitting a woman. But he tries to turn the situation around and manipulates Misa's feelings for him against Rem, asking her, like, trying to basically get Rem to kill Al, because he's like, hey, through transitive property, like, if I love Misa, Misa's happy, then you're happy because you love Misa. So don't you want to help me out? And in the end, Rem is like, I still don't like you, but I will help you. So they make this plan for L's demise. L tells Rem, like, I'll give you a signal when to kill him. Everything has to be just right. And, like, basically bribes Misa with a kiss to just shut the hell up. And she gives him, like, one of her phones to, like, you know, hey, use this so we can kind of get around detection. As the circle closes in around L, he examines some evidence at the hotel and very nonchalantly tells Yagami that, hey, if I die in the next few days, your son is absolutely responsible and is 100% Kira. And Jin just goes right back to examining his evidence. But he then surprises Light the next day at school, telling him kind of the same thing. I told everybody, if I die soon, it's you. And Light is kind of afraid here for a second. He might be playing right into L's hands. And just at that moment, of course, out of nowhere, Misa appears. And he's just pissed, you know, but realizes, hey, now she sees L's name. And he thinks he's probably won in this moment. But L just laughs, you know, says he's a fan of Misa's. And soon, like, a whole crowd gathers around. Misa's eventually hauled away by her manager. And Light finds an excuse to break away from L, planning to call Misa, get the real name, and end this whole thing. But it turns out in all that commotion, L stole the phone and is answering it. And Light is so annoyed and tries to call L's other phone. But all of a sudden, Light or L gets a call on his phone and there drops this bombshell on Light. We just arrested your girlfriend for being the second Kira. And Light is absolutely floored. Like, that was a bombshell moment. They found her they found her hair on, like, all the envelopes that she had been sending the tapes in.
Idiot.
For as careful as she said she was, clearly she left some things some things uncleaned up. And Light thinks maybe things are over. But at that last second, he's like, you know what? I got a plan. The police have Misa all, like, tied up and restrained in, like, some BDSM shit. But like, she's
super
not
super severe.
Weird stuff. Like, I get the precaution, but this is pretty extra. It feels just,
well,
like,
I guess
maybe
that makes
a little
sense
bit
because
too far.
They don't know how people are killed yet.
Yeah.
So they could
know
be like,
she
it
can,
could
like,
be some power, yeah.
Something to do with, like, seeing their face, learning their name. So they're just trying to, like, put her in, like, a sensory deprivation sort of situation. But she's not giving them anything. And eventually she just starts begging Rem to kill her and spare Light. And instead, Rem takes the death note from her and Misa gives up possession. And in doing so, she loses the Shinigami sight along with, like, all her memories tied to the death note other than her love for Light, basically. Rem then brings the death note to Light and says, hey, if you don't figure out a way to save Misa, I'm going to kill you. But luckily, he's like, I think I know what L's going to do next. And I think I've got a plan that's going to save all of us. So from here, next episode, Light is relinquishing control of Misa's death note to Rem. And he also, like, establishes a code with Ryuk about, like, hey, when I say this word, I'm giving up control of mine. Meanwhile, Misa is totally confusing the investigators. She doesn't remember a thing. They just think she's playing dumb. She thinks she's been kidnapped by a stalker. Soon, though, Light comes in and says, hey, it's possible I am Kira, but I'm doing it without knowing. It could be totally unwittingly. And L is not sure he's buying this, but is totally down to lock Light up until he's convinced that he's not Kira. So that's exactly what happens. And a few days into that, Yagami is also asked to be put in prison because he just can't take the shame of it all and can't watch his son through all this. His emotions have totally compromised his objectivity. And so L is just set up kind of watching these three on a 24/7 feed. Days go by, no additional Kira killings occur, bringing even more suspicion to Light. However, in that moment, he gives Ryuk the keyword and totally gives up control of the death note. And then he also loses his memory attached to it. And suddenly he doesn't even know why he's locked up. He's like, I don't have any memory of any of this shit. It can't be me. And then a few more days later, all of a sudden, murders matching Kira's MO start popping up. And some of the team starts to think Light might be innocent, but L's still unconvinced and totally keeps that information from Light. Somewhere in the city, Rem is sitting with some shadowy figure who is filling out page after page of the death note. And Rem wonders if Light's plan is really working because this is 2 months later and L is still keeping these three captive. Unconvinced. Yo. 3 months or like 2 months, dude. That's crazy. And solitary. Insane. Instead, L's plan is I'm going to take Yagami out of prison. And we're going to work up this sting operation on these two. So Yagami picks up Misa and Light, explains to them that basically they're on their way to be executed. But before he can get to the final destination, he pulls over and puts a gun to Light's head. And is like, you're my son. I'm going to kill you myself. I'm going to drop Misa off so she can be executed. And then I'm killing myself. So this is whole suicide pact going on here. Light and Misa, of course, are terrified. But when Yagami pulls the trigger, it turns out to be a blank. It was all just this sick and twisted, another sick and twisted test from L, you know, believing that if either of them were Kira, they could have killed Yagami to spare one another's life.
Can I make one point?
Yeah.
You can't shoot a blank point blank into someone's face. like that. Light would have been blinded or possibly killed. You can't just shoot blanks at people like that. So that's totally unrealistic.
Isn't that how
also
that?
And also blanks are still loud as fuck. So his ears are ringing, and he's probably definitely.
It's not just like a toy cap gun where you just go pop. It's like a legit, like there's stuff comes out, like you could still die from a blank if you shoot it close enough.
Isn't that how Bruce Lee's son died on The Crow? Like they were using like blanks or something like that, and he got shot?
That or they got switched. I don't remember the exact story with that. But yes, blanks are dangerous. They're not like that at all.
Yeah, I think where Bruce Lee's son, they end up switching the bullets to actual real bullets. Like,
oh, shit.
Or they mix real bullets in there or something, like, supposedly. Mm-hmm.
Yikes. But no, that's a good point.
Just a little tidbit.
They definitely, their ears would have been ringing. But apparently with that, Ella was satisfied enough to take them out of custody. They just basically have to be under surveillance 24/7 still, especially Light, who is literally handcuffed to L 24/7 until Kira is brought to justice. Misa is annoyed at this because she can't get any alone time with Light, but Light is pretty upfront that he doesn't have any feelings for her. It's just a totally one-way thing. And L tries to be like, hey, so like, we're pretty sure she's still definitely connected to the second Kira. Like, how about you manipulate that situation? And for once, Light has some scruples and is just like, no, I'm not going to try to manipulate somebody's feelings to try and get ahead. That's totally against my principles. Okay, Light. But at this point, L makes this crazy revelation that he's been building some sort of like Avengers Tower for them all to continue their investigation. And like, he's just like, no, like, this is like, you know, 10-story building. Like, you all can have like your own separate floor to live on. But this is where they're going to continue their investigation and, you know, try to figure out who Kira is. Elsewhere, there's a board of like 8 businessmen sitting around a table discussing Kira. Clearly, one of them has found the Death Note because Rem is there with them. And some of that, they're helping their company succeed, but it's not really clear which one of them is the new Kira. So we see the advanced security that the team now has to deal with, and some of them are kind of wondering whether it's worth continuing the investigation. The others watch Light, Misa, and L hanging out on a date, but nobody's really having a good time. L isn't really sure who Kira could be at this point, if not Light, so he's just depressed, but remains convinced that they have to be connected somehow, even if they are just being controlled by him. But eventually, Light come to blows. Like, we were talking about this last week. If these two got in a fight, what would happen? We got to see it play out, and just like everything else, it's pretty evenly matched. But you know, we said L was scrappy, and that ended up being true. Later, he's kind of got that Mugen fighting style, fighting dirty. Later, though, Light finds a connection between the recent Kira killings and a particular company benefiting from the deaths. This company called the Atsuba Group. All other company stocks are diving, but theirs are going up, and they realize, hey, these criminal killings they're doing are just a distraction so people won't notice this real shit that's going on. The Kira business board at the Yotsuba Group discuss their plans on who to kill next and start to figure out some of the rules of the Death Note. And it comes clear that they also reached out to various government groups and promised them like, hey, you'll be safe if you stop investigating. And the Japanese police actually end up agreeing. And the detectives on the team have to decide if they're going to leave the police force and continue the investigation or if they're going to stay cops and leave. And with the exception of one of them, all of them decide to stay. You know, there's one guy who's got a family, you know, can't really just give it all up to chase this serial killer. So he bows out. The remaining team focuses up on the Yotsuba Group, looking at all their employees and figuring out, you know, all of the murders occur over the weekend. They also add 2 new members to the team, a master thief and a lifelong con man, both associates of L. And he insists like, hey, if we need to infiltrate Atsuba, we need these two. After all, look, they managed to get into our building completely undetected. So the episode ends with the officer who left the group rejoining his family. But, you know, he breaks into tears, likely over his combination of happiness to be with his family again, but also his fear of knowing Kira's still out there and, you know, anything could happen. And that's where we leave off on episode 18 of Death Note.
All right, man. Question time, man. I had some good ones.
All right.
So, if Kira, aka Light, killed somebody that did some damage to your family, like some just horrible things, whether it was killing, whatever it was, would you be on his side? And if you got the Shinigami eyes, or if you end up getting a Death Note yourself, would you be trying to help him out or trying to find him to I guess, like, to help him out the type of way? That to me, that's a tough question, man. I think if somebody, like, for Emisa's case, somebody murdered her parents in front of her.
Yeah.
I get everything that she's feeling.
Yeah.
Maybe not the infatuation part of, like, being a, well, I probably what she saw, like, you know, she was just like, all
I
right,
mean, Misa obviously has emotional and psychological issues. Both her and Light obviously do. I mean, there's sociopaths, there's psychopaths, there's something. They're I don't know the exact term, but there's obviously something wrong with both of them, and the fact that they're so, I don't know, they just became so callous so quickly with, like, killing and that. So, like, I empathize with, yes, her feelings based on the death of her parents in front of her and that part of it, but then to just be totally, like, I'm just going to help Elle on this crusade, killing everybody who does things wrong, plus the people I don't like, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's obviously a disconnect with reality and, I think, morality in that sense. So, yeah. While I empathize her, I'm just jumping in there answering the question myself, while I empathize with her in that sense, I don't know if I would join Kira.
So would you would have been a fan of Kira after he did what he did, though?
I mean, or I wouldn't be upset with him. If you know what I mean. Like, I wouldn't be like, oh, he shouldn't have done that in that sense. But I also wouldn't be, I don't think, ready to jump on the bandwagon and be like, ooh, like if I got a Death Note and be like, okay, I'm going to do this now too and join him and hit this whole crusade. I don't think I'm there at that point.
Yeah, I think if it was me, I'm doing it my way. I don't know if I'm joining. I probably would still want to meet him. And you have all the extras. You have the Shinigami eyes. So I just like, all right, that's you. Cool. I know it's you. I see this person. And it's just like, all right, man, you don't get to know my real name or whatever the case may be. I'll have that all faked out. But I'll do my own thing. And if I feel like you're getting out of hand, I'm killing you. That's how I would look at it. But I will definitely thank you for doing what you did, because clearly everywhere, this shitty-ass justice system does not work well.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you got to get, it's like they made it to where he had to get shit done by somebody else. What about you, Rob?
Yeah. Kind of to echo what Cameron was saying. I mean, if I were in her position, I definitely would be like pretty jazzed this dude took out my parents' killer. Like, that'd be, I mean, but like even seeing Misa for the first time, you see she's like kind of, you know, she went crazy shopping at like Hot Topic and Spencer Gifts. Like, she's kind of got like the goth chick look going on. And like, to be fair, like in her situation, literally the Death Note had solved like every major problem of her life. She was being stalked by this crazy dude, and a Shinigami killed that dude with a Death Note. Her parents' murderer got away with that shit and was still out on the street, and some dude showed up with a Death Note and killed that dude. Like, this, I can see why she would be on board with that.
Yep. Plus, she also said that she was already into the occult and that whole piece, too. So I can definitely see the believability in her being like, yeah, I'm into this kind of
thing. Yeah. But it's also just, you know, basically, I'm the same as you guys. Like, I would totally be like, yeah, I'm glad he did that shit. Fuck that dude that killed my parents. But at the same time, if I found a Death Note, I don't think I'd be jumping on that same train, because for as smart as Light is, I think his execution of what, I think there were ways to do what he wanted to do without being as loud about it as he's been. Like,
oh, for sure.
He is absolutely responsible for getting a team of investigators on him. Like
one of my biggest questions is like, why didn't Light just, if he was planning this crusade as well as he wanted to, I feel like he wanted like, oh, I want my old life and to be able to do this. If he really wanted to do it, he would have like left, gone to some like remote island and then done it all from there. If he had like a TV, and then no one would have been able to find him in that sense.
Yeah. Or even just spread it out.
That too.
Yeah. He could. Why are you sticking to the only one? Oh, yeah. If that's me, I don't know. I feel like he's very, very smart. I think we talked about this last time. I think that's also his biggest fault too.
100%.
So,
yeah. Well, it's also his arrogance. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Another question. Good question, my Rob. If you had to be paired with a Shinigami, who would you rather be stuck with, Ryuk or Rem? Rob.
See, this is you got to think about this, because I think Ryuk is probably a better time. He seems like he's probably a more fun, you know, Shinigami to hang out with. Rem does not seem like much fun. However, Rem, at least, like, as far as, like, you know, who if she's your Shinigami, it sounds like she backs you 100%. Like, she's not going to let anybody fuck with you. Or, I mean, she at least, that's how it worked out with Misa, one way or another. So, if I'm choosing between the two, personally, I'm picking Rem because she seems way more helpful than Ryuken is. Like, she came down there with a purpose because she wanted to help somebody and give them the Death Note. Ryuk was literally just bored and was just trying to, like, fucking stir the pot of chaos and just be like, I'm going to make a show. Like, I'm going to put some chaos out in the world and just see what happens because I'm bored as hell. So, personally, I'm picking Rem.
I'd have to agree with Rob on that note. And just because Rem seemed a lot more knowledgeable in the whole Shinigami thing, because there was a part, I don't exactly remember what, but when they're talking about how the Shinigami can die and all that kind of stuff and, like, who can kill it, and then Ryuk was like, I didn't even know about that. So it's definitely, she seemed more knowledgeable in that sense of, like, the capabilities of what you can do and what the Shinigamis can do and that whole sense. But the difference is, with Misa, she claims that, like, she's in love with Misa, so that's why I think there's that relationship. So if I had that relationship with Rem, then yes, in that sense.
Yeah, I feel like Ryuk doesn't give a shit. Like, the only reason why he's even helping Light somewhat is because apples.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, there's a point when Ryuk says, when they're talking about how, like, Rem says that she would die for Misa, and then Ryuk rebuts with, like, oh, well, good thing that'll never happen to me, and that whole thing, like, he's basically like, I don't give a fuck about you, Light.
Yeah, and Light's kind of like, oh, I already kind of, all right, yeah, I got it already. I knew that. yeah, I would want somebody with that type of power like that to be on my side. So I don't need you being like, well, sorry, kid, your luck's up. Peace out. I need somebody to be like, exactly. Oh, I got to do what I got to do for you. So, I don't know what happened. It says remaining meeting time, only 9 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on either. I'm trying to fix that right now. We're just going to keep it rolling and see what happens.
So I personally would pick Rem also. I just feel like she just has some type of, I think there's some type of empathy there with her. And I think that's what you need in this situation. I feel like Misa's not the smartest person, so if it was one of us, it would be different. And I feel like, you know, I think I wouldn't be doing as much with somebody like her on my team, because she'd be like, yo, you don't have to do this, man. I think she could be fun if you want her to be fun. I just think that, especially for the show, they had to make her a little bit different, because it's the same with kind of like Light and Ryu. It's like,
Ryu's kind of like
this outgoing Shinigami, whereas Light's kind of like super reserved. And then it's the opposite way with Rem and, Misa, she's super outgoing, and then she's kind of super reserved. So,
similarities in the fact that I think Light is less caring about people the same way Ryuk is, whereas, like, Misa's not the same way Rem is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they're similar in those aspects that, like, I don't think Rem would have worked with Light from the beginning in that sense.
Yeah, I can see that.
True.
All right, next question, Cam. If you were in a life position, how would you react the first time you met Misa? Yeah, how would you react the first time, Cam?
Oh, how would I react? Okay. Well, I'll base it off of what happens in the show is he's very, like, off-put, but then, like, dives right in. And it's an interesting – I'm not going to spoil what happens in the rest of it, but Misa has, like, an interesting relationship with, like, the way I view her as a character, because there's parts about her that I hate and there's parts about her that I like. Like, she comes across as someone who's, like, dumb in certain instances or not smart with specific things, but then also is like, oh, well, I did all these things. And you're like, okay, well, that's pretty smart. Why weren't you smart in this instance? It kind of ebbs and flows with, like, the times that she is, like, a smart character and, like, doing, like, the right thing, and then the times when she's just, like, totally an airhead and is, like, playing into that role. And I think part of that's the infatuation with Light that definitely affects that character. But for me, honestly, if I was in Light's position, and I'm going to play, like, if I was not me, but, like, if I was at Light's moment and had already done all the things that Light had done, I probably would have written her off in that sense. Like, I don't think I would. I would have seen her as a liability, which he sees her as a liability, but then also tries to use her. So it's that kind of, like, dancing between liability and asset. And I don't think I would have taken that chance just with everything else being so risky. Because, like, the police are already bearing down your neck. You're in contact with the guy who's trying to hunt you down. I don't think it was a... I don't think it's a good move to bring her in that way. But, I mean, you also have the flips. I mean, I guess upon initial meeting, he doesn't know that she has the Shinigami eyes, so I think that's why I would have gone with that decision. Having none known everything, like, backing that up is like, okay, well, if you did do that, she could have easily just killed Light right then and there if she was upset. Yeah. So it's like... balancing that, but I don't think it's a good move, and I don't think she was in that moment a benefit to his crusade.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think at the beginning, anyways, I would have been very upset if she would have came to me. That's me, because it's like you're trying to fuck this up.
Yeah,
like you're trying to get us, and I think maybe having the eyes has her a little arrogant, like it doesn't matter. We'll just kill everybody, type shit. Maybe that's why
that's the thing is she
careless.
Seems unpredictable in that sense.
Right, right. And yeah, it's like, yeah, you got to have a serious talk with her. And if I'm like, I don't know. I think you play as a girlfriend. I mean, as a boyfriend and play that up as much as you can, because literally, I love the fact that they brought her in and made Rem be like, I will fucking kill you because you need somebody
that's
to
the
check
clincher.
Light. Yeah. Yeah, you need somebody to check. Nobody was really checking light in that sense. It's just like, you're going to get captured, but he's kind of like, I was smart L. I'm not tripping on that. But it's like, now it's like, no. If anything happens to her, and pretty much if anything does happen to her, she's going to assume it's like, no matter what, he's a dead motherfucker, which I'm like, he needs that. But at that initial, I would have been upset. But then I feel like she's also a pretty girl. I don't see, maybe because like, she's like, yo, I'm on a mission and I get women. I don't need just you anyways. So I don't. Maybe that's his arrogance too. Like I'm out here pulling chicks, so it's not that I need you. I think I would initially been upset and then been like, "All right, cool. This is like, she's dope. She's like, because he said like she's a good girlfriend too."
Yes, except for the fact that she was like, "If you were with anybody else, I'm gonna kill all of them."
That right there, I'd have been like, "All right,
a little possessive."
That's the thing. There's that emotional instability that's like, this is way too much of a chance that you're just rolling the dice kind of with what she could do.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead and answer, Robert. I wanted to piggyback off that, but go ahead and answer.
Yeah. So, I mean, to be honest, right now, Misa is a little bit like my Zenitsu on this show. Like, I was kind of vibing on the show, and then she showed up, and I'm kind of like, oh, my God. Like, you are fucking this all up. Like, you are fucking this all up.
It gets better, Rob. It gets better.
Oh, I'm sure it does. Because, like, it's one thing if, like, you know, I can kind of see where Light's coming from. I can see why he's at least, like, super pissed at her. Like, you are going to get us caught. Like, you don't understand. You are, like, too thick to get it. Like, I'm trying to tell you why we can't be seen in public together. And she still just, like, keeps showing up. And I'm like... even the idea of like, if he explained to her, like, listen, maybe after some time, like the one thing that I think Light maybe have fucked up on was if he's going to manipulate her, he also did a bad job at that because he should have been like, no, don't worry. Like, don't listen. Like, don't worry. Like, we're going to be together. We just need to get rid of Al first. And then we can do like whatever. He was too upfront with like, oh no, like he didn't feed her enough bullshit if that's what he was going to do. Because she's a total liability and he just needed to, I think, give her something to kind of string her along if that's what he's going to do, just to get past this L thing, because she's doing too much. She's going too far and she's too loud about it. And that's how they ended up in this situation. For as careful as she was, she wound up with her hair in the shit. But so if I'm Light, I would be pretty pissed as well.
Yeah. So this is the piggyback off of to say just real quick what we just talked about. What do you do? Because you, would you ever cheat on Misa? Like
no.
How can you?
No.
Even if women are coming up to you, I would try to even keep my female family members that are like around my age away from me. Because you're like, is that who? Oh, this bitch gotta go right here. I gotta get you up out of here. That's my cousin! And it's like,
totally.
What the fuck? And she's like, I'm sorry, I think when you read like the little captions too, once you write somebody's name in there, I don't think you can get their name out of there. I think that's it.
No.
Wait, so you mean like, in the death note?
Yeah.
No, there is time. You have to draw true straight lines through them, and you have 6 minutes and 40 seconds to do that.
Okay.
Yeah, if you read the captions, it's interesting pausing it and, like, reading the actual captions and, like, what you catch from those and what you don't. But that was definitely one of them. Because I was also, like, if you do that, like, how do you get the name out of it? And there is a way to redact what you put down. But also, I don't know if you caught that. If you write the name wrong, I think it's, like, 5 or 10 times, the Death Note becomes inactive, which I just thought was funny.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't sure if it was fully inactive or just, like,
I think you lose ownership or something like that.
Oh, okay. I just know her Death Note, if you were really dating her in real life, would have a lot of lines in it. It was like, you can't just do that. Because the waitress looked at me. Are you fucking serious?
Before you kill anyone, you must send me a screenshot of the name you're going to write down.
I think Light would still cheat on her. I think Light would absolutely have an affair and just be like, oh, she got killed. Whatever.
I mean, he's talking to that one girl in the class.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just blatantly. And, like, that of course, like, Misa's not there, but the fact that she just, like, pops up, like, unannounced anytime she wants to is, like, I wouldn't, like, the fact that she's that unpredictable is, like, no, you can't really take that chance. Because especially because she was hiding when she first saw Light in general, so she could see Light with anybody and have that emotional assumption.
Yeah.
Okay. So after watching this and seeing this, why are women attracted to serial killers and murderers like Ted Bundy and Jeffrey Dahmer? Like, she has this same, like, fantasy about him. Why do you think women are attracted to that? When I wrote this question, I still couldn't really think of an answer. I don't get it. Maybe women I know women like weird things about men, like power. And when they show that type of power, they can do something, or determination. So maybe that shows determination, they can get shit done, even though it's murdering somebody. I don't fucking know, but they be liking shit like that about men. Like, oh, it's just something about, he was so ambitious.
He had a vision.
He had a vision. It was so well planned out. He had goals and he accomplished them.
Follow through.
Women be like, women love shit like that.
My little message to all the women who think like that, they probably would kill you too.
Yeah, I mean,
so
that's
think of that. You probably end up being their victim if you're like that in that sense.
I don't know.
Well, go ahead, Rob.
I can explain it because, like, you brought up Ted Bundy, and, like, I watched the Ted Bundy tapes on Netflix, like, a while ago. And I remember, like, after this dude had, like, was engaged in many relationships throughout his killings. But then, like, after he was arrested, he got into a relationship with this woman. Like, they got married in court while he was on trial because he thought he could, like, there was some bylaw that, you know, you couldn't prosecute that guy because they had been married. I forget exactly what it is, but he had a wife that knew about all of this. And, you know, I mean, listen, maybe she said that she thought he was innocent, but, you know, obviously he wasn't. I don't know. I think you're right in that there, it's probably got something to do, like, with some kind of power aspect, some alpha male thing, like, you know, hey, this guy he's a killer. Like, he's powerful. Like, I think maybe that's just something that maybe some women find attractive, you know, just like, ooh, he's scary. Like, but, you know,
and I feel like women like kind of being intimidated by their man. So not all women, but there's women out there that like some, being intimidated by their man. Is like, oh, I could, like, I've talked to girls and be like, I just want to know that I don't want him to actually put his hands on me, but I want to know that he might. And I'm just like, that's the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life. Well, there's a good amount of women out there that feel that way, and maybe there's something in their past that's led them to that. But that's wild,
yeah,
man.
Because it's not just Ted Bundy; that happens all the time with serial killers. Like, the letters come in, absolutely. Yeah.
And I think they get off on, like, they just like, oh, you murdered somebody else today. Oh, 6 orgasms. It's just like
sick, man. Sick.
It's such a weird sick shit. You answer, well, Cam?
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna actually bring up a couple other points. Can you guys name any female serial killers?
There's very few. There's like Eileen Wuornos in Florida from Monster that Charlize Theron played. You know, she was just like basically, you know, like a truck stop prostitute that would kill dudes from time to time. But there's very few, and a lot of
very
the times
few that are as public,
they're usually pretty good and get away with that shit.
So it's like, we don't. I mean, it's a different relationship because, like, I mean, I'm not attracted to any of those women who are serial killers. So, like, I don't know if in that sense that they're not as I think it's become such like a part of our pop culture, and they become so like sensationalized that it's the same as like if you're a fan of Batman or DC Comics and you're like, oh, I like the Joker as a character. If he was a real person, you better not actually like that person in that sense. But we still do that because there's no potential for him existing. So it's like, well, okay, I can separate like reality from not reality. So that's why it's like a fantasy. So I think with like women, I would hope it's kind of the same thing. That like, well, this can never happen because so-and-so is dead. So that's why it's okay for me to like fantasize about it in that sense, or maybe that's how they justify it to themselves. But like with characters that we create some like horrible characters, like villains in pop culture, and we're still like, oh, I'm a fan of that character. Where it's like, if that person actually existed, it would be very weird if we're wearing that person on our t-shirt in that sense.
Right. Well, I think it's like you said, it's kind of like they're fantasized and publicized in the sense of they're kind of like rock stars.
Yeah,
they are famous for stuff like that. That's why sometimes they'd be like, well, don't post this person that much on there when they're a killer, because it could make them famous. Mm-hmm. And it's like, at the end of the day, a lot of women like famous men like that. When they're famous, even if they're not attractive, there's like, I won't name the rapper, but there's a lot of unattractive rappers, a lot of unattractive rock stars, and they got a lot of women because they're rock stars. And to your point about if it was flipped on the other side with, if there were more female serial killers, let me tell you something, bro. I think a lot of dudes would want to have sex with them or find them attractive like that because they're attractive, not because, yo, man, she out here murdering,
it's not the killing
dirty dudes.
Well, it depends. Right. I think there's an attraction to like the thrill of like the possibilities. And some people are like those adrenaline junkies who are like, they want that experience. So they're going to go and seek out like as weird and like different things as they can. And that to them is something that would be like exhilarating, with like, okay, this person could kill me. Like, imagine like what else, like how, what you're going to feel and all those kind of things that you've never experienced before. So I think that's also an aspect of it, is that people are that like want, that are looking for like those experiences or things the way like affect their life. It could be also that aspect.
It's sad because as men, we're like, you know, a lot of time we'll objectify women. Cause I think what it would be like, man, she could kill a man. She murdered like 700 people, bro. And they show a shot of her while she's turning around. I'm like, wait, she got ass.
In that respect, I think absolutely dudes would do the same.
So hypothetically, y'all would, if you had a chance to smash her, you know, that topic would come up with a bunch of guys talking, and they'd be like, well, I'm just saying, man. Hope she, I'll take a knife to the heart. At the same time. So it's so stupid. But now I think that'll be the reason why guys would do it. It would be because I don't think, at least for most cases, I think a lot of men will be there, but like, oh, I got to stay away from her. She's a little crazy.
Well, I mean, shit. I mean, not a serial killer, but didn't Casey Anthony get some sort of like Playboy attention or something like that?
Yeah, I remember that.
I don't remember exactly
what happened, but I remember she came back into the news because of something. Either she did a cover or a thing like that. There was definitely, you're right about that, Rob, but I don't remember exactly what happened.
Men are trash too.
Absolutely.
Men are absolute trash.
Men will push the murder to the side and be like, man, I don't give a fuck, man. I think
men are, it's probably equal, but the fact that like most female serial killers aren't publicized the way male ones are, it's like you don't see that because like we're not consuming that media and it's not in our faces as much as like, I mean, there's so many Netflix documentaries about hunting for killers and all that kind of stuff that it's like in their face. So of course we're going to see people who are attracted to that. If it was on the flip side with media, I think hands down we would say the same kind of people interested in it.
Interesting. All right. So the show kind of took like a little weird turn at some point. And Light and L kind of like started working together. Do you like them better as adversaries or teammates, Rob?
I like them more as adversaries. I when they started kind of working together, to be honest, I was kind of just like, all right, what the hell is going on? Like, I have to imagine that this is still playing out as some master plan for Light. I don't think he gave up the Death Note with the intention of never getting it back. I think he's too determined for that. But there's a little part of me that's kind of just like, what are we doing here? Like, I kind of wish they'd kept... as adversaries, like seeing them like handcuffed together, like on the couch, like on the date with Misa, I'm just like, the fuck are we doing here? Like, come on.
Also, it just felt comedy, like this show didn't have a lot of comedy in it at first.
No, I will say I did laugh very hard during the stretch of episodes at one particular moment. That was not it. That was not the part. So personally, I like them much better as adversaries. I feel like the show works better. Light is more interesting when he's an asshole. I just find their dynamic much more interesting to watch when they're kind of like trying to play that, outmaneuver each other, that chess match. But that's me.
Okay.
I'm going to agree with Rob just based on the fact that, like, when they're trying to be friends, or when Light is trying to be like, oh, I'm not L, and like, let's find out who he is, some of his like excuses are very weak. Like the whole like, oh, maybe I'm L subconsciously. And it's kind of like, of course that's false, because we've been doing X, Y, and Z to see that that's false. But it's kind of like, because all those scenes, he's always trying to like make up some reason why he's not L, because like that's still up there. Here. So even working together, you're like, okay, what bullshit answer is Light going to give for this thing that L is going to miraculously believe, but like, does L actually believe it? So it's like, it's all fake. So like, I never saw it as like, they're actually like, Light is as like, he is not attached to L at all. Like, you can tell that anytime he's like, when L was like, oh, you're probably my only friend, Light was kind of off put by that in that sense. Like, I think, yeah. I don't, it's always fake for me. So that's why I'm like, of course I want to see them as adversaries, because the scenes when they are allies, you can tell he's lying.
Yeah.
There's a disingenuous about it.
And I feel like that's purposely done. I feel like, because when he told Light that, you know, you're my only friend, I felt like, this song probably wasn't out by then, but I feel like Big Sean, I don't fuck with you, would have started playing. You know, I don't fuck with you. Because he don't really. He's like, and I think that's why I actually like these stretch episodes like that, because of they made them, you know, teammates. But you can tell they're still like, I don't trust you. And Light is so smart. I'm sure at some point he left some type of paper trail or whatever.
He must have.
To get back to where he needs to get to be who he needs to be again.
Keenan, is this the first time you watched this?
No. I've seen it before.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to. I don't remember how everything plays out, because I haven't watched it since like 2011 or 2012, something like that.
Okay, so it's been a while.
It's been a minute. So, for me, I like the fact that they played this dynamic together, because I think the show, it plays well into the show. It's like, we're going to give y'all a different look now. But we know the show has to go back to something. So now it's like, it's going to be fun to see how it gets back there. But I would say I do like them as adversaries also, because that's the point of the show. Like, the reason why we love this show is because you got two intelligent motherfuckers going at it, and they keep one-upping each other every damn time somebody thinks they get the one-up.
I feel like this was supposed to be the comedic break in that kind of sense. That I think, I don't know who brought up the whole like lack of comedy, but this very much felt like, what if they had to be friends in that kind of sense? And what if they were chained together? What like predicament would that make it? And it's kind of funny in that sense. So maybe it was kind of, let's like bring the tone up just a little bit. But also, I think they were looking for like an angle, because with the story, the way we were at before this happened, there was only a few ways like it could end. Like at that moment, Light was ready to kill L, so they had to figure out a way to like turn and not have that happen.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Next question. Do you think the police were too excessive when they captured Misa and Light and putting them in confinement? Yeah.
I'm gonna say, okay. So from my standpoint, where I am now, yes. And that's if this had never happened. If this was going on, like, the world's never seen, like, a threat like this, so I get the excessiveness. It was just, like, weirdly excessive in this sense, but they're also, like, we don't know how Kira works, so we don't know if the ability is just, like, I can stare at you and you can die, or I can just think about you and you can die. Like, we don't know. They don't know the extent of the abilities, because they don't understand the whole notebook aspect at that moment. So I get it, but it just felt like, damn, this is like super intense to do to this like child. Almost.
Yeah, I mean, she's technically, what, 18, 19, right? I mean, she's still considered young.
She feels young.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I feel like they got to do what they got to do, man. Like you said, they don't know to what extent how this works, and you have a strong assumption that she is because you got this DNA and stuff like that. do what you got to do, man. Like, I felt bad because, you know, especially it being a woman, it's just, like, you feel different. It's crazy. You just feel different when it comes to men and women. At least I do. And when I saw that it was just like her, I at the end of the day, I felt she has an innocence about her. Even though she's doing these things, I feel like she's technically a good-hearted person.
I guess my thing also to not to butt in, but the fact that she's like tied up, but then they think Light is Kira, and they don't do the same thing to him is kind of interesting. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, that's it.
I think the reason why, because she went killing people like crazy like that too, and killing people when she saw them. Whereas beforehand,
well, the police don't know that, Kira, so they wouldn't know. They wouldn't know to do all that. And if they were like, "Oh, this is how Kira works," we should do the same thing to Light. You know what I mean?
But it's too late. Light already seen everybody. So like, why even do that now? If he's been with us for like however many months he's been or whatever, so. They're probably just like, well, there's no point of doing this still, because if he had that type of power, he could take us out right now if he wants to. Rob?
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of going to bring that point up that, you know, what kind of bothered, I don't think it's necessarily excessive. It's a lot. What I thought was kind of weird is exactly what Cam brought up. And I can see your point that, like, yeah, they probably figure if he was going to do it, he would have done it already. But they literally have no idea how he does it. Like, so I feel like if you're just like, I need to know if Light is telling them, like, I want to be imprisoned so that you're absolutely certain I'm not Kira. I think you got to give him that whole Hannibal Lecter treatment, just like you gave Misa, just because, like, maybe it's snapping his fingers. Maybe it's he does some sort of, like, you know, whatever that shit is they do on Naruto, where they like do some shit with their hands and like that's the death sentence. And like, they don't know how he does it. So, yes, he knows their names. Yes, he's seen their faces. So whatever method he uses, he could have done it already, but they don't know what that is. So that felt a little like, I don't know, when she called him a pervert, I was like, I don't know, maybe he is a little fucking perverted.
I mean, there's definitely that aspect. The way she was like in torn up clothes and like, like metal braces and all that. It's like she clearly can't break out of that. Like any other kind of restraint either. So it's like, that's why it felt like, damn, this is super intense. Like we just threw this woman. And then also it's just like, it was shocking in that sense. And I think if we saw that in real life, we'd be like appalled by that.
But I get it. You know, she's a wild card at that point. And they just know that people would show up at the news station and people drop dead and they don't know what else. So you got to treat that.
Body hit the floor so crazy. I was surprised they didn't put her in a casket and just gave her like a little breathing holes to breathe out of. And that's it.
Something like that. Yeah. Like seriously, a sensory deprivation chamber, something like that.
Yeah. Cause this is some Guantanamo Bay shit for sure. As long as they kept him. I forgot what I was watching. I forgot what movie I was watching recently, but they were saying like, you're not even supposed to keep somebody. I think they were doing it before, but you're not supposed to keep somebody in solitary confinement for more than 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, because does to their brain. To their brain can literally fuck you up.
2 months.
Yeah, she's
two
locked
months
up for
there.
2 months. Like, insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, next question. If something were to happen to L, do you think it would be because of Kira, Misa, or diabetes? Because this motherfucker eats so much cake and snacks. I think he's dying from diabetes soon, bro. I don't know. He's about like, yeah, we got to capture this guy. You're going to go into a diabetic coma.
Yeah.
Did you catch his reasoning? He was like, my brain is always working, so it's always burning the sugar. And I was
stop it. That's great. That was great. When he said that, I laughed. I was like, all right, that's cute. But no, dude. No. You throwing mad sugar cubes into your coffee, and you're going to eat that strawberry shirt. I was surprised. I think the cake got stepped on at one point. I bet you he still ate that cake. I bet you he still ate that shit.
Yeah.
Rob, what do you think?
No, you bring up a good point. That dude is definitely pre-diabetic, at least. That's a funny question. I don't think the sugar's going to kill him. I think if he was a real person, he would not be that skinny little scrawny dude. He would have like some problems, probably some mobility problems.
He'd be a fat World of Warcraft guy. Oh, we gotta fly in the next.
just like chugging Mountain Dew and Monster Energy drinks or something like that to stay awake. Yeah, that would be, that'd be real life hell. So no, if he's a real person, I think, yeah, he'd probably have some congestive heart failure before anybody got to him. But in the show, I think, I don't know. I'm not convinced that L's going to get got yet.
I mean, I guess I'm going to have to agree with you guys on the fact that he probably wouldn't die from that, just because I feel like that takes just so long for you to, like, develop that. So, like, it depends on how long this goes on for. Like, if it went on for, like, maybe a couple of years, then yeah. But it's also, they do they say how old? I don't remember if they said how old L
I'm was. Very confused about L's age. I do not know how old he is.
His character's very convoluted And so, like, at that point, it's like, we don't, what if L isn't even human? I mean, there's also that question. It's like, who knows what he is?
I've had that thought. I'm just like, is he Shinigami?
Like, no backstory.
Like, does he have a Death Note? Like, what the fuck is going on with this dude?
So, I mean, if he was a human, yeah, he's definitely, if he's not dying from Kira, he's definitely dying from some cancer, diabetes, sugar related death. Definitely.
Definitely.
All right. Last question. Rem made a really, really big mistake, and she touched Misa's hair, and clearly that was...
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, L saw that and was kind of like, all right, something... Clearly, now he knows something's up. Has love ever made you do anything stupid as that? Because he's clearly in love.
Yeah.
Love has made me do a bunch of different dumb things, whether it's drive... miles and hours to go pick up somebody from somewhere that I knew they shouldn't have been at, and they did something with somebody else and I still picked them up like a fucking idiot. Made me stay with somebody that I knew something was off, like I knew they were like cheating, but I was so in love that I was just like, well, maybe it's just, you know, I don't know. So yeah, I think love makes a lot of people do a lot of dumb things, and I fell victim to it before. Hasn't happened in years. I feel like I've definitely grown from those situations. I'm glad I have. And I feel like I'm more cognizant of just being like, even if I'm in love with somebody, if they're doing something that I don't think is right, I'm like, nah, I'm not with that. I'm not making that mistake to have something happen. Okay.
I mean, if you say no to this, you've probably never been in love. I mean, I want to say, yeah, I'm sure it's happened on occasion. I guess not to the degree where it's like, oh, this person, like, we're going to find, like, jail or, like, anything like that. But there's definitely times where you're like, shouldn't have done that because I care too much and this person obviously doesn't. So it's the situations like that where you're like, that was dumb because this person doesn't really care.
Yeah. I think a lot of us have been there for sure.
Yeah.
Would you do something so stupid like that when you're in love? Like, would you do something to possibly put yourself in a situation where you're in jail or somebody to evade jail? Or would you be like, well, you shouldn't have done it. Sorry.
Yeah, you got to help somebody out.
I guess now, I mean, because of things that have happened, I would definitely be more hesitant and probably have more forethought into, like, what actions I'm taking. But, I mean, like, maybe teenager Cameron, probably.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's just, like, the fact that things have... I mean, I guess with age, it changes. But also, I feel like love has that blinding effect where you're like, I want to do anything for this person. So, like, if you're that much in love, then yes. Because, I mean, that's how much in love you are in that sense.
Right. Rob?
Yeah, I mean, just like Cam said, I think... there's a degree of just like, when you care about people, you definitely put yourself out there. You put yourself at risk. And if that is a one way thing, which I think it definitely is in the case of Misa and Light. And I think it's the same for Rem and Misa. It's a one way street. Yeah, you can get hurt. You can do dumb shit. I've definitely done dumb shit for people that didn't care about me on the same level that I cared about them. Just like Cam said, not on the same, like, cosmic scale of like a murder investigation or some shit, but to try and think about it, like, you know, when I cover for somebody that I loved, I think I would, like, if somebody I knew, like, was in trouble, I think it would be very hard for me to be like, no, you got to turn yourself in. Like, there'd be a part of me, I think, that I'd have to, like, even now I think it'd be like, all right, well, let's see if we can figure this out. But that's, again, if it's a, you know, because the relationship I'm in now, that's what I put, the context I put it in. I know that's not a one way street. Right. But I, in the past, have 100% done dumb shit that I was just like, I just fucking like put, not necessarily my life, but like, I've definitely done shit to set my own self back, you know, only to realize that like, oh my God, like, this is not at all what I thought it was. And, you know, it turns out that this person did not have my best, you know, interests in mind. And I totally got played or used or whatever. So definitely.
Okay, Rob, here's a spin on the question. If your fiance was in Misa's position and you were the Shinigami, would you have done the same thing affectionately?
I probably would have, because I'd be like, especially Rem, who kind of, in Shinigami in general, that just kind of look down on humans. Rem is probably just like, all right, well, I'll kill all these people if anything happens to her. She's just going to go wild. Yeah. She's going to go out in a blaze of glory. Yeah. If something happens to Misa, she's going to kill every single person. She's going to probably get L. She's going to get Light. She's going to get Yagami. She's going to get every single person on that team. I think she's got no problem just icing everybody involved if something happens to Misa.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a fair at all, Cam, because, yeah, if you said if Rob was the Shinigami, yeah, if something happens to, like, my lady, everybody gotta go to
It's like playing Red Dead Redemption, I'll be going down the road, and somebody, like, says something, and boom, like, you're a video game, you're not real to me.
You're not a Shinigami, now you're in the same situation.
No, I probably would try to play it cool, because, again, I'm just like, oh, shit, like, we gotta try to figure this out, and, like, you know, if we're associated, then that puts that at risk. I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough, man. That's a tough situation. I don't love will make you do some crazy things. I don't think I would have touched her hair like that, just because I feel like I would have been smart enough to be like, all right, I can't do anything because I know visually I'm invisible when I do something like you know, read with the apples and stuff like that. I'd be like, all right, you know, if I'm gonna do something, I might like grab your hand, but I'll keep it in the same place. I might just touch it and go, all right, let me get a body or something like that.
That's fair. That's fair.
All right. So those were the questions. So let's go into how we feel what we liked about these six and what we didn't like about it, and give our rating. You want to go first, Cam?
Sure. See, this stretch of episodes was actually, I think, a very interesting stretch, because Misa, no spoilers, but becomes a much more interesting character throughout the show. And I think the introduction here is just a very interesting, like, I feel like in most animes there's always that kind of character who's a little like dumb but smart, but also essential to the story and that kind of thing. And it's interesting,
like Zenitsu, for sure.
Yeah, or like Ed from Cowboy Bebop. There's always kind of that like tongue-in-cheek, goofy character, which is interesting that she's kind of that kind of that trope. But are we doing ratings right off the top?
I mean, you don't have to. I mean, I'll say the same. What you liked about these six, what you didn't like, and then your rating.
Got you. What I liked about these, I liked, I think, as annoying as Misa can be, I think she was a good addition, so I do like her. And that's me coming from, I've seen the show before, so I know what happens. I think that was good. I think there was a couple, some of the excuses Light brings up as to why he's not Kira, or some of the things that he tells L, I think are just, like, bogus. And, like, a part of me is like, I don't know if L believes it or if he doesn't believe it, because he doesn't tell that. But some of the things I'm just like, when he's like, the whole, oh, I did it in my sleep unconsciously, it's kind of like, where did you pull that out of, and why are any of us supposed to believe that? Some of that stuff's kind of like, meh, like, it doesn't land really well. Plus, the whole when they're handcuffed and that thing, I think was a, I understand the reasoning for the redirect. I tuned out for parts of those in that instances. But I think the scene I loved the most, and it's one of my favorite scenes in the whole show, is when the father is in the car with Misa and Light. And that whole, like, scene, super intense, because you don't actually know what's going to happen, because you don't, as an audience, aren't informed of what the actual plan is. So, like, you could be like, this could be real in that sense. So when I was first watching it, it was intense, and I think that scene's a very interesting scene. And I think Light's father is one of my favorite characters in this story as a whole. I think he's a very interesting character, because, like, on the one point, he is the police chief and has to find Kira, but then now he's faced with, what if his son is Kira? And it's interesting when he's like, when he has to take a step back and he's also put in solitary confinement because he's like, I can't trust myself and you can't trust me because of the emotional investment in what's going on. So overall, I liked this arc. A couple things that I didn't, but I think those two, that scene and I think Misa's introduction are very important and very good elements to the story.
What's your overall score today of these six?
These six? I would give...
out of 9,000.
Out of 9,000. Let's go maybe like a 7,000. I think it had enough in there that was interesting for me that, yeah, I'd give it like a 7,000. Maybe like a 6,900.
Okay. Fair. For me, I thought these stretches were, I thought, I liked these stretches of episodes. I thought they were pretty good. I think, and even rewatching it, I think finally, because it wasn't comical at all. There was no funniness. It was just all business from day fucking one. There was no games to be played. And I do like bringing Misa in and kind of lightening up the show a little bit, because it's so dark the whole time. Even though she does some dark shit herself, it's like, well, you know, you had finally some comic relief. We got to see what we wanted to see, which is L and Light kind of fight it out a little bit. That was fun, even though it wasn't too long, but we get to see that. What I didn't like about it, it was a little slow at times. I did kind of find myself nodding off a little bit. I wouldn't say it was boring, but it was just the pacing wasn't as good as it's been. Because the pacing for like the first, I feel like 12 or so have been like fucking beautiful, like perfectly written, damn near. So the pacing was just a little slow for me. That's what I didn't like. So I would give these stretches of episodes, I would give them a 7,300. Yeah, I like Rim. I like her in here. I like that her pretty much her being in here and checking Light is perfect. And I think that's what this show kind of needed, because he's running amok. He's running a little too wild to me.
Yeah.
And I think that they needed somebody to put him in check a little bit so he can't do what the fuck he wants to do. Bro.
Yeah, I thought this is a really tough stretch of episodes for me to judge. It had, I think, maybe one of my favorite episodes that I've seen so far, and probably one of my least favorite episodes that I've seen so far. So it's hard for me to give it like an overall number, but Misa's an interesting inclusion for all the reasons you guys brought up. I'm not crazy about her as a character, but I do like the dynamic that she brings, and that like, I like that she frustrates Light. She drives me crazy too, unfortunately. Yeah. But I like that, you know, she has those moments where Light's like, all right, I got my plan. And then she kind of just like throws that all out the fucking window. And, I do think she is a little, I mean, she's kind of a punching bag in a way. Like I kind of talked about it earlier. Her life has been so fucking difficult. Like, except for the fact that she's just like incredibly beautiful and has this modeling career. Like, she's been stalked, almost murdered, her parents' house robbed, and her parents murdered in front of her. Like, she's had a rough life. So it's kind of interesting that she does have that kind of like sunny disposition in a way, you know? So I'm lukewarm on her right now. I'm not totally writing her off. She is funny from time to time. I would say my least favorite aspect of this stretch of episodes is probably the last episode we watched, episode 18. It just didn't, I too was kind of nodding off. I was like, what is going on? This whole switch up with like the businessmen getting the death note. I'm kind of like, I'm not, this feels like filler to me, and maybe it's in the manga, and it just feels like it took away from what got me excited about the show, and that's L and Light going head to head. I kind of get why they did it, but I felt like it's so far, it feels like kind of fat that they could have trimmed. But we'll see how it plays out. My favorite part, the part that I laughed at, my favorite episode is, I guess it would have been episode 15, when right after Misa walks away and Light's like, this is it, L, like, you're fucking done. Like, I'm about to get your name, checkmate. And he calls the phone and you just hear that like Japanese pop song in the background, and you turn around and L is holding the cell phone and is like, oh, hello. I was like, this dude is diabolical. He fucking stole the phone off of her and like was just waiting, because at that point he knew And even the moment when he laughs and he's like, oh, like, what is he laughing about? And he's laughing because literally the hair he was bagging before he came down to the school was this girl's hair. And then she shows up and it's just like, oh, this is my boyfriend. Like that, yeah. Just like watching that through and just kind of being in L's head for all of that is just such a fun thing for him to be like, I am absolutely like, L is just like loving life. Just like, who touched you? Like, I'm going to catch them. And just like, oh, by the way, we just fucking arrested your girlfriend because she's the second Kira. And just like, boom, like, what are you going to fucking do about it? I loved that. That was my high point.
It was so funny to see their dynamic because Light was so excited that she came through because like, you finished it. Like you did it for me. Like, this motherfucker's dead. But then in his head, he's like, no. And that's what I like about the show, too, the dynamic of, like, yeah. You think you got the one-up, but it's like, I got yep. The one-up.
It's sorry, that buddy. Ever-going chess match.
Yeah, love but it. It's like that meme that I've been seeing recently. I love it. It's like the old man, like, bending over. It's like, call the ambulance. And then he, like, pulls out the gun. It's like, but not for me. Like, that was, that was L in that situation. He was just like, you just punched your own card, dude. So I love that. I want to give that episode in particular an 8,000, but this stretch of episodes, I'm going to give a 68.
Okay. All right, that's fair. Yeah, I think these stretch of episodes, they hung on. You know, they're not the best stretch by far from what we've seen so far. I know Ice and Brennan didn't send us their scores or their whatever, so fuck them.
Fuck them. Send it.
Yeah, they don't matter.
I want to give a quick. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I think Brennan said that he didn't even see the episode, so like that makes sense.
Yeah, I think he probably just need to read them anyway because I thought he said he pretty much remembers a good amount. He just kind of reads the he's over what it was.
Yeah.
I want to give a quick shout out to Michael Johnson.
Yeah.
He shot us a little bit of money on our Cash App, man. Not a little bit, a decent amount.
Thank you very much.
So thank you, Michael Johnson, brother. We appreciate you, man. Showing love to the Anime Podcast. We're showing love to you. Make sure you hit us. I know we don't have an animation Cash App yet, but he sent me the money, which I'm going to send to the guys, of course. Or send to the squad so we can, you know, do what we got to do with that. Have a class pizza party, guys.
Woo! Yeah. Well, I just had to upgrade Brennan's Zoom account for this meeting, so this episode brought to you by our friend, our sponsor on Johnson. Cash App, Michael Johnson. You made this episode possible.
Maybe we can get some swag.
He has an upgraded version on there.
He did. I thought so too. And no, I got the same notification. So we did it on the fly. It worked out.
Yeah. So appreciate you, Michael Johnson, for giving you a shout out, man. Go ahead and drop your stuff, Cam.
I'm at Stickman Studios on Instagram. That's STIK. MANSTUDIOS Stickman Studios. There's no C. I'm in the same thing on Twitter. I'm on Twitter and Instagram most. I don't post a ton of stuff, but I mean, follow me if you want to.
Yeah, man. Show love to Cam, man. He's our tech guy over there doing.
He's helping us out every episode. Every episode, he's bringing this, putting this together, and putting it out there on the web.
Follow Mr. Cam, follow Ice on Ice.McGowan. Follow Brennan at Mr. Producer Face on everything. And I think that's his Cash App also. And go ahead, Rob, drop your stuff.
Yep, RV Danger on Instagram. That's where you can find me.
Keenan Baker on everything. Same thing, $ Keenan Baker on Cash App. Send the money. The money goes to the squad until we create an animation Cash App. Follow Animation Podcast on all platforms. We're out here in these streets, man. And answer all the questions that we always ask every single week, man. Answer the questions in the YouTube comments. Let us know, and we'll respond back and stuff like that. And we'll see y'all next week. We thank you for tuning in to another episode of Animation.
Bye.
And so anime was solved forever.